let's stand together this morning and sing praise him, Jesus, our blessed Redeemer.
Praise him, Jesus, our blessed Redeemer. Sing on earth his wonderful love proclaim. Heaven hail him, unto Jesus in glory. Strength and honor give to his holy name. Like a shepherd, Jesus will guard his children. In his heart he carries them all along. Praise him, tell him his excellent greatness. Praise him, ever in joyful song. Praise him, Jesus our blessed Redeemer. For our sins he suffered and bled and died. He our rock, our hope of eternal salvation. Hail him, hail him, Jesus the crucified. From his praises, Jesus who bore our sorrows, love unbounded, wonderful, deep and strong. Praise him, tell of his excellent greatness. Praise him, ever in joyful song.
Thank you for joining us for worship today at First Baptist Church of Wixom. Here are a few upcoming events to help you stay connected.
Community groups meet most Sunday nights and resume this evening at 6 p.m. Tonight we will be using last Sunday's morning message and study guide as the launching point for the discussion. If you are not yet connected with a Sunday p.m. community group, please visit fbcwixom.org/community groups for more information. Young adults have an archery tag event on Tuesday, September 13th. This event will be held at the Total Sports Complex in Farmington Hills and cost is $10 per person. Please see Bradley Tice if you have any questions.
The first session of the E3 Starting Points class will be at 9:45 next Sunday, September 18th. The Starting Points class is designed to engage attenders in the church life by answering 5 key questions about FBC. If you have never attended the Starting Points class, you are encouraged to attend starting next week. Next Sunday, September 18th, is Hometown Heroes Day. Please help us welcome our city employees and first responders. We will have an abbreviated worship service, followed by lunch for our special guests.
In just a few minutes, we will be dismissing children 4 years through the third grade out the back of the auditorium to our junior church ministry. While there, they will enjoy a great time as they sing songs, play games, and hear a message from God's Word prepared just for them. Giving is one of the many ways we have to worship the Lord. If you'd like to give financially, you can utilize the giving box in the back of the auditorium, or you can give online at fbcwixom.org and click on the tab at the top of the page.
If this is your first time at FBC, we'd love to connect with you. If you'd like more information about FBC, prayer, or to learn how you can get involved, you can fill out a connections card online at fbcwixom.org/connect. Also, make sure to stop by the Welcome Center for a special gift on your way out after the service. Once again, thank you for joining us for worship today. Now we invite you to worship the Lord through song as we prepare to hear from God's Word this morning.
Good morning, everyone. It's great to see you. I want to welcome several guests that I saw come in this morning, and then a special welcome to our hometown hero guests. Thank you for joining us today. Looks like some of our firefighters just were able to come in the back. Thank you guys for being here. And we want to introduce all of them here in just a few minutes, but we want to make sure that everybody gets here. So we'll do that a little bit later in the service, but we want to say welcome. We're super excited to have you here for our morning worship hour at First Baptist Church of Wixom. This morning, you saw on the video, we had our very first of five classes at 9:45 that we call Starting Points class. This is part of our E3 series of Sunday school classes. And this morning we took a tour of the building. And we always start with this. Every time we start the class, kind of lay a foundation for the future conversations that we're going to have. We took a tour of the building. Next Sunday morning we talk about the history of the church. We'll talk about the beliefs of the church, how to get involved, who the leaders are, and how that authority structure is set up in the church. And try to answer any questions that somebody could possibly have about engaging deeper at First Baptist Church of Wixom. That started this morning, but if you missed it and you forgot, you can join us next Sunday morning at 9:45. I want you to watch a quick video this morning talking about the value of the E3 Starting Points class.
I think probably one of the things that I appreciated the most was doing it with my family, my wife and my daughter and my son-in-law. So we got to do it as a family together. I thought that was important. I thought it was good for the family to engage in the discussion and kind of learn and grow together.
We started a year ago, August, and we had visited for several weeks, and we were enjoying the church very much, and we wanted to learn more about it. When the Starting Points class was offered, we jumped right in. The class started in September, and as soon as it started, we realized that all of our questions that we have are answered. Questions from theology to doctrinal positions, even to the history of the church, which I found very interesting because it has a legacy of over 180 years, which I found fascinating.
I really enjoyed the chance to kind of set the tone before service and kind of get into the mindset, the right mindset. I think through the week, you sometimes prioritize other things and, you know, things that aren't important, you put those first, and then on Sunday you go into service and it's kind of really quick and you leave and it's over, where I think Starting Points and going through the exchange and all three of those classes was a good chance to kind of get in the right state of mind and understand what's important and go into service building on those lessons.
So not only with the Starting Points class, E3 has connected us through many different avenues of service and worship here. I'm in the choir. Our son is very involved in the youth group. We have joined a community group since last January, and we have made a lot of friends that way.
We also got to develop and cultivate a relationship a little bit closer with Pastor Brad. Love his teaching style. And the thing that I really like about the series is coming to a reality of how blessed we are as a church to have Pastor Brad and Holden. They're such wonderful teachers of the Word.
We were interested and started to get more involved and volunteering more, and we also wanted to be baptized. So with our membership and figuring out what we needed to do and learning about everything that the church is about, it just really helped everything to solidify and fall into place.
I think even just building a closer relationship with Pastor Brad and different families within the church, I think it kind of strengthened or reinforced that decision that we had, mm-hmm. that we kind of already went into that class knowing that that was the goal. But it made that whole process a lot easier and smoother.
Get it done right away. Do it as soon as you can, because it will be enlightening to you, to your family. You'll encourage other people to attend as well, and it would be a huge blessing to yourself as well as other church members too.
If you're, say, you've been here for years, you've been a member for years, and you haven't done the E3 class, I also recommend it just because it's always nice to go back to the basics and hear everything from the beginning again if you are already involved in discipleship and you're leading discipleship. I think it's always beneficial to go back to the beginning and do a good refresh just so that you can lead well and meet someone where they're at if they're new to Christianity.
So not only is it a good foundation for what's truly important that service builds on, but also it's a way of taking some of the lessons we learned in there and kind of taking it outside of the E3 class and outside of service and through our discipleship interactions and into community groups, and it's kind of just all kind of ties together.
If you've been visiting First Baptist Church for a while and you're considering it as your church home, I would say give the Starting Points class a try. We did it, and the first time that we were there, all of our questions were answered. It's pretty easy after that, and once you start talking to people and getting to know people here in the halls or at choir or before the service, you're going to find there's a lot of really nice, wonderful people here, and it makes your experience a lot easier.
So the Starting Points class is the first of four modules that the E3 series is made up of. And again, if you're interested in joining us, you may do so next Sunday morning at 9:45 in the cafe off the gymnasium. Also, one other item of housekeeping business to take care of with you this morning, and that is that next Sunday after the morning gathering together, we have a special business meeting to talk about future building plans, and so we encourage all of our members to plan to stay for that brief meeting that will be next Sunday morning after the morning message. Again, we're super happy to have all of you here this morning. Let's pray together, ask the Lord to bless our time, and then we'll have the musicians come and we'll sing a few more songs together this morning. Lord, thank you for the privilege to gather today. And today, as we think about saying thank you to you and to those who serve us, Lord, we're just grateful that we can do so in this environment, and we're grateful for the safety and security you've given to us, and we're thankful for our church and how you've blessed it. We're thankful for the privilege of just gathering together in the name of Jesus and singing some songs that lift him up and magnify who he is as our Savior. I pray that you'd help us today to think on him and to interact honestly with your word, and then to encourage one another with our fellowship. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
As you join me and stand together, listen to this passage in Psalms 86. Go ahead and stand, please. Give ear, O Lord, to my prayer. Listen to my plea for grace. In the day of my trouble, I call upon you, for you answer me. There is none like you among the gods, O Lord, nor are there any works like yours. As we sing these next two songs, be thinking about that passage. Our next song is Amazing Grace, and I hope you that is your testimony, and hope that that's the testimony of all of our visitors today. God's amazing grace brings us here, keeps us safe. You may be seated. Children, you may be dismissed. Thank you.
Thank you for that, Dan. That song is called It Is Well With My Soul. Great song of testimony this morning. Well, today is Sunday. Sunday is the day that we have set aside for us to worship Jesus Christ and to look into his word and ask, what instruction, Lord, do you have for us from your word? But we set aside one Sunday every year to stop and say thank you. And this is part of our worship. So I know that many of our guests that are here for Hometown Heroes Day would say, hey, you know what? I'm not really comfortable with the term hero. I'm just doing my job. But what we need you to understand is we're very grateful you've joined us this morning. But this is really an exercise for us. The church is to worship God. And worship includes the music that we've sung, elevating Jesus Christ and who he is to us. Worship includes looking at the Word of God and asking, Lord, what do you want to teach us from the Bible today? But worship also includes a spirit of thanksgiving. Us saying, Lord, thank you for the good things that we have. And we recognize that we are in a good community. And a good community happens because of leaders. And so we're grateful today for those that not only lead as employees of our city, but also lead as first responders. And so we call you our heroes today because we need to stop for a moment as a church and say thank you. And then after the service today, we're going to take this group, the hometown heroes that are with us, we're going to take them over to the cafe and feed them a great steak dinner as an additional thank you for their service to our community. But we'd love to find out who you are. So if you wouldn't mind, in just a moment, I'm going to have you stand if you're one of our city employees or first responders. Would you stand and introduce yourself? Maybe tell us who you are and who your guests are that are with you and what you do. And I actually want to finish up, Ron, with you and Jeff. If you're somewhere in the building, we're going to finish up with the two of you. But if the rest of you, in fact, the two of you included, would you all stand, please? Would you stand, Ron, and your family? Would you stand, family? Come on, you guys are part of it. Thank you, Belinda. We're going to come back to you guys in just a second, but let's hear from the Ellsworths first. Go ahead, Chief.
Chief John Ellsworth. I am the police chief for the Village of Wolverine Lake neighboring community. 38 years so far.
And who's this lovely
lady? And my lovely wife, Debbie.
Thank you.
I'm Phil Langmeyer. I'm the chief of Wixom PD. Just started there 2 months ago, and I'm very happy to be here today. Thank you.
Awesome. Thank you. I'm going to come back here in just a second. Yeah, let's go ahead. Give them a round of applause. If you don't mind, stay standing. It's fun for us to have, of course, John and Debbie as part of our church family here for Hometown Heroes. We love that. And Chief Langmeyer, we're super glad to have you here in the city of Wixom. Welcome, and you're welcome here at any time. And congratulations on the new role. I know that there's others here. Would you stand if you're here? Firefighters, stand up so I don't forget you guys. I see you back there. Anybody else here? Mr. and Mrs. Brown, did they make it in today? Thought our city manager was going to be with us this morning. Not yet. Okay, so hang on. Let's introduce these guys really quick. Hi, Mike. Introduce yourself to us, would you please?
My name is Mike Smith. I've been with the Wixom Fire Department about 15 years. Lived in the city 25 years, and today I'll let these guys introduce what I got.
All right.
Jody Bannerman, been with the department almost 3 years, lived in the city for almost 7.
All right, thank you.
David Gibson, been on the department for 2 years, been in the city about 4 years now.
Thank you, Jody. David, if for nothing else, thank these guys. I was going to say, if for nothing else, we should thank them for responding to the false alarms that we have from your children pulling the fire alarm. So we're glad to have you guys here. If you don't mind, stay standing. We want to give you applause here in just a second. I'm going to hit Jeff back here. Introduce yourself, Jeff.
Hi. For those of you that don't know me, I'm Jeff Robertson, a member of the church here. I've been coming quite regularly for about 6 years now. Was baptized here just a year ago. And recently retired from the city of Wixom, 29 and a half years, headed to Tennessee, retired. So thank you.
So Jeff. Jeff is moving to Tennessee at like 1 o'clock today. So, I mean, it's happening imminently. We have a gift for you, Jeff. Let me make sure I give you the right thing. I wrote a note in the front of that. And we just really appreciate Jeff serving for over 29 years here as our fire chief and doing a great job and being part of our church family. So thank you for your faithful service. And I want to come over here and catch Chief Moore as well. So as some of you know, Jeff just retired, and Chief Moore just retired as well. Excuse me, I'm going to slip through here. I have a gift for you as well, sir. Introduce yourself and your family to us.
Good morning. My name's Ron Moore. I'm the recently retired and former chief of police and director of public safety for the great city of Wixom, and God granted me the blessing of working there for 27 years. I'm here with my wife, Belinda, and my son, Joe, my daughter, Sarah, and my son, Nate.
We're glad to have your family here. Big round of applause for them. So again, church, as part of our worship today, as we sing songs to praise Jesus, as we look into the Word of God, I want you to just think about gratitude for those that serve us. You know, Scripture actually says that people who serve us as leaders in the community are ministers to us on behalf of God. So we have several ministers in the auditorium today. And I really appreciate each of you joining us today and allowing us a chance to say thank you. Let's give them a quick round of applause to say one last thank you. We appreciate you guys. All right, thank you. You may be seated. You can be seated. I did note as I was walking past the door back there by Jeff, the fire guys brought a fire truck. So unless they have to run to a call between now and lunch, I think it'd be okay if the kids go out and see it. Is that okay, guys? Okay. So, or the big kids want to go out and see the fire truck. When we dismiss today, we're going to dismiss a little bit early. And so if you want to do that, you're certainly welcome to do that. Thank you. Thank you for that. So for those of you that are guests, let me bring you up to speed on what we've been talking about on Sunday mornings. And what we do on Sunday mornings is we just go verse by verse, chapter by chapter through Scripture. And come to the Word of God with this question: Lord, what do you want to teach us? We don't come on Sunday morning with an agenda. I don't come with an agenda. I don't even know for sure what I'm preaching next Sunday morning. But like we practiced together as a church recently, it's the next few verses. Okay, so we're in the end of Titus chapter 2. And next week we'll begin in the beginning of Titus chapter 3. And the following week we'll be in the end of Titus chapter 3 and so on. We're moving our way through this book of Scripture. Now, if you're unfamiliar with this portion of Scripture, there's three books called the pastoral epistles, or we might say it this way, the letters to pastors. It's 1st and 2nd Timothy and Titus, and these are close to the end of the New Testament. They have instructions for pastors, and they have instructions for churches, but they're loaded with practical applications and practical reminders. And so this series of messages is entitled Remind, and those are post-it notes on that graphic to get us thinking about there are certain things we need to be reminded of. So recently, just to kind of bring us all up to speed, a few weeks ago, we talked about Paul's example for advancing the cause of Jesus Christ. So Paul, one of the greatest missionaries of all time, planted churches all over Asia and Europe. He's the author of this book, this letter. And he sets an example of what it looks like to advance the cause of Jesus. And then he gives some instructions, a warning for the church. And he says, this is how you hamper advancing the cause of Jesus. You do it with hypocrisy. If the church is full of people who say one thing and do another, that just brings the advancement of the kingdom of Jesus Christ to a halt in that community and in that church. So Paul gives his example. Then he gives a warning. Then he gives some instructions. And you might remember the instructions could be summed up in two things. A church needs to intentionally teach truth. But secondly, a church needs to generationally model truth. Young believers, children, and young adults need to look up to older adults who have been walking with Jesus Christ for years and say, oh, that's what it looks like, excuse me, to be a faithful Christian. Paul's point in this passage this morning is that that idea doesn't stop at the back walls of the church. That we're to model what it looks like to be with Jesus to each other, but we're also supposed to do it outside of these walls. In fact, specifically, he's already talked in the beginning of this chapter about our demeanor in our workplace. We are to be the employee that our employer looks at and says, oh, that's what the grace of God looks like. That's what Jesus would do. We're that example. We adorn the grace of God in our workplace. In chapter 3, in verse number 1, he's going to remind the Christians that they adorn the gospel of God in the community. So it's not just here in the church. It's not just when I'm at work. It's when I'm interacting with the rest of the community. In other words, it's the whole package. There's no hypocrisy. I walk with Jesus. I love Jesus. I want to advance the cause of Jesus on Sundays and Mondays and Tuesdays and even Wednesdays and Thursdays, and even on Fridays, and I'm looking forward to the weekend, and even on Saturdays, right? I'm always advancing the cause of Jesus Christ. So in this message, we want to talk about living Jesus' way by God's grace. And you got to listen quick because I'm going to talk fast, okay? We're going to talk about living Jesus' way by God's grace. A very, very simple outline this morning. Learn of God, live for God, look for God, and lean on God, okay? Titus chapter 2. Starting in verse number 11, I got to catch up with you really quick and find it. Titus chapter 2, starting in verse number 11, where it says this. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. Looking for the blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us, that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. And then Paul says to Titus, these things speak and exhort and rebuke with all authority. Let no man despise thee. Let's pray together as we start. Father, we realize that unless you teach us, we won't understand how to do life as a faithful follower of Jesus Christ. And so this morning, we're dependent on you to teach us and to help us understand what your word says. This morning, Lord, we want to delight in your truth. We want to live it out selflessly. And Lord, we want you to show the world around us what it means to be a faithful follower of Jesus Christ. Give us a hunger and a thirst for your truth this morning. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. I told you before, I grew up in a family of four boys. I have two older brothers. And so as a young man, I early learned the art of flinching. Do you know what flinching is? Flinching is an instinctive, reactive movement motivated by fear. An instinctive, reactive movement motivated by fear. It happens like this, sort of, with boys in a house where the younger brother walks by the older brother and says something like, you think you're pretty tough, don't you? And then runs, right? That's called a flinch. Or my personal favorite, the little brother lays on his back on the floor and just kicks and just rotates, kicking his legs, keeping the older brother away, reacting out of fear. Now, here's why I tell you that this morning. I think a lot of people actually view God this way, that they just need to keep him at bay. In fact, did you know pagan religions are based on this idea? Pagan religions essentially say that God is angry. He's angry with you, and he's looking for an opportunity to hit you with a bolt of lightning. And so what you got to do is you just got to keep him happy. You kind of have to live life on the flinch from God. This is what pagan religions teach about God. But a lot of people kind of go through life this way. I just need to keep God happy so that good things happen. They're kind of a Christian sense of karma, if you will. So what they do then is they create some kind of system to help them do this. So maybe it's a ceremony. Maybe it's a code of ethics, whatever. But the intent is to keep God happy, to keep God at bay, to keep his anger pacified. And here's what I want to show you this morning from this passage, that Christianity is uniquely different. It's uniquely different in that God is not trying to hit you with a lightning bolt. Christianity's God appeases his own wrath. He actually sent his son to die for us so that we don't have to pay for our own sin. The all-deserving one does everything for the ones who deserve nothing. Think about that. The all-deserving one, God, the perfect one, does everything for all of us who deserve nothing. And once you get a hold of this truth, it changes everything. This is the key to living life Jesus' way. It's this one word, grace. Grace. And a lot of people have defined grace different ways, but I think the easiest way to understand grace is just good stuff you don't deserve. It's good stuff you don't deserve. You can't earn it. If you earn it, it's not grace. Okay? So a paycheck is not grace. What is grace is a gift. A gift is unearned and it does not need to be reciprocated. This defines the character of God. He is, as Scripture says, the God of all grace. So here's what I want to share with you this morning. Four things. We said the first one was going to be learn of God. Learn that He is the God of grace. This changes everything when you realize this is who He is. The wicked do deserve to pay for their sins, you and me included. We deserve to pay for our sins, but God says, nope, I will take care of it. Grace. He does not find pleasure in destroying the wicked. He does not find pleasure in unforgiveness. He gets great joy in forgiveness. This last week, I had the privilege of being the guest speaker for our teenagers at school camp. We were down at a beautiful camp in Ohio. And for four messages, we talked about the prodigal son. You remember that story? The prodigal son? Let me give it to you. If you've never heard the story of the prodigal son, let me just tell it to you really quickly. Because it matters to seeing God as a God of grace. So Jesus tells this story. And in the crowd, when he's telling the story, there's really two groups. There's the religious people, and then there's a bunch of rejects. Right? They're all the bad people, the sinners, and then there's this religious crowd. And the religious crowd is mad at Jesus because he tends to favor the rejects. He likes to hang out with the sinners. And so the religious people are like, who does he think he is? Doesn't he know that these people are awful and they shouldn't be hung out with and they're going to make him unclean and all of this stuff? And Jesus says, hey, listen, hey, religious people, let me tell you a story. So he tells a story about this teenage boy, presumably, this young man who demands of his father that he gets his inheritance right now. He basically says, Dad, I wish you were dead. Give me your money. I'm leaving, right? And so he goes to a far country with his dad's money, and Scripture says he blows it on riotous living. He blows it on women. He blows it on pleasure. He blows it on alcohol. He just blows all of it. And then he's stuck, and he has nothing left. And you can just imagine the religious people are going, good. You know what? He deserves it. He made that bed. Let him sleep in it, right? But all these people over here, all of the rejects are going, oh, I hope there's still some hope. Like, that's what I did. I was given all this stuff and I just went out and I just blew it and I lived life badly. Is there any hope? And so Jesus goes on to tell the story that this young man, when he eventually comes to his senses, he's feeding pigs in the midst of a land that they're having a famine and he's at the end of his rope. You know what I'm saying? And he remembers his father, and he goes back, and as he's going back to his father, he's rehearsing this speech. And the speech is basically this, Dad, I am a reject. I'm a loser. Would you let me sleep in the barn? Can I be one of your servants? Could I be your employee? Can I do the worst job on the farm? And he's rehearsing this speech in his head. And as he comes over the hill, his father is sitting on the front porch, and he's watching him. And he notices that this is his boy, right? And so the father, this dignified Middle Eastern man, he's sitting on his porch. He sees his boy coming over the hill, and it says he runs. He picks up his robe, and he sprints, and he runs, and he grabs this boy who's filthy, and he hugs him, and he kisses him on the neck, and he says, you're home, you're home. I want to give you some gifts, and I want to throw a big party, for my son was lost, but now he's back. It's an amazing story. The religious people are sitting there listening to the story and they're getting madder and madder and madder. They're turning red because they're thinking, I want to earn some favor from the Father. But Jesus says, this is not how it works in my kingdom. Here's how it works in my kingdom. People blow it all the time. People mess up all the time. And you know what we do? Forgive. Forgive, 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 forgive. And it's all of grace. There's nothing you must do to earn it. Just come home, Jesus says. This is the Father. He loves to give forgiveness. He loves to give grace. In fact, Jesus tells after the story, he says, likewise, there is a party in heaven every time a sinner says, I don't want my sin anymore. I want to follow Jesus. There's a party in heaven every time this happens. Peter said in 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9, the Lord is not willing that any should perish. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 4, God will have all men to be saved. He wants to forgive. He wants to extend grace. He wants people to have salvation through his Son. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 9, his grace is made manifest by the appearing of our Savior, Jesus Christ. Well, look what that first verse actually says. It says, the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men. This has appeared to all men who need salvation. Well, people that are about to die, right, need saved. They need rescued. But Scripture gives us the sad truth that all people are born with a death sentence because of their sin. And yet Jesus came to rescue us from their sin. Do you realize what sin does to people? I was just recently scrolling through the news and I thought I would do a little test. I would see how many stories on the news that I was reading were because of people's sin. What percentage you think I got? 100%, right? These people are fighting, these people are arguing, these people are stealing, these people have broken into each other's homes, these people shot each other. It's just like sin after sin after sin. It poisons minds, it destroys families, it destroys nations. And God said, I want to deal with it by my grace. Romans 3:24, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. So here's why I said earlier, it makes all the difference in the world to understand this. Because when you realize everything you have is of God's grace, then you're motivated to live for him. Right? Think about the boy in the story of the prodigal son. Think about him. He comes to his dad wanting to sleep in the barn and be the lowliest servant. And dad says, hey, welcome back into the house. You're a son just like my other son. Come on back in. Can you imagine how motivated he was to serve his dad? I'm going to guess that every single day he was up before dawn saying, I want to serve Dad. I owe my life to Dad because everything I've got is of his grace. So number one, learn who God is. Number two, live for God so that others would know his grace. Live for God. Our job is to show the world what people rescued by grace look like. You see, you are a billboard for the gospel. Sort of like the big red truck that's parked out there in the parking lot. These guys don't drive a big red truck like that and try to hide it. Are you with me? Like, it's got colors and decals and, they're not called decals, Jeff told me. They're called graphics, and they've got lights, and they've got sirens. Why? So that you know what it is, right? You recognize it right away. And this is really the way that a Christian who understands grace is. You can't hide it. You can't hide them. The grace just flows out of them. You say, well, wait a minute, Brad. For me, that's really not my spiritual gift. Like, people can't really tell I'm saved. I'm kind of a clandestine Christian. I'm kind of under the radar. And I would say, Paul would say, I'm not even sure you are saved. I'm not even sure you understand grace. Because when you receive grace, it flows out of you. You live like it. You can't sneak a fire truck through town. You can't sneak a Christian through the workplace. It's just obvious that they've been changed by grace. Romans 6 verse 14, for sin no longer has dominion over you, for you are under the new law, not under the law, but under grace. Grace changes everything. If you're in Christ, you're a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. It's like you've got a new hard drive. Okay? The motherboard has been changed out. A whole new way of thinking. So number one, learn of God. Number two, live for God. Number three, look for God. Look what he says in verse number 13, looking for that blessed hope and glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Jesus is coming back. Amen, church. Jesus is coming back and we should be looking for him. This is why Paul said to die is gain. I can't wait to go to heaven where there is no sin and there is no news, right? Because there's no sin. There's no problems. There's no death. Sin has been eradicated, look for God. And then lastly, lean on God. Lean on God. You say, what do you mean by that? What do you mean lean on God? Well, everybody leans on something. Are you with me? Everybody leans on something. Some people lean on their financial nest egg, their monetary security. Some people lean on their good works. Like, I'm just doing as much good as I can, and hopefully God's happy with me someday, right? Everybody leans on something. And what Scripture tells us we're to do is to lean on God because of Jesus Christ, to put our faith 100% in Him. Verse number 14, who gave Himself for us that He might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto Himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. Did you know that Jesus wants to make you one of His peculiar people? He wants to do this for everybody. Not peculiar as in weird, okay? Jesus is not trying to make everybody weird. He's trying to make everybody different. Different than they were born. See, everybody was born into sin. Everybody carries that sin and its consequences with them. And Jesus wants to change that. People who get God's grace, they really understand it. They do these four things. They want to know more about God and His grace. They want to live for God so that others will see His grace. They're constantly looking for the return of Jesus and thinking about eternal things. And they lean on God, knowing that He has redeemed them by His grace, and they don't deserve any of that. This last week, I was reading a story. Maybe some of you read it. It was in Fox News about a Pew Research poll that just came back. Approximately 90% of Americans in the 1990s, 90% identified as Christ followers. Now, that's probably a little bit inflated, right? But at least 90% said they were Christians, they were Christ followers. That number had fallen to only 64% last year, 64%. So here's what the story said. The story said that if this continues, less than half of Americans will identify as Christian by 2045, less than half. Why is this happening? That was the end of the article. Why is this happening? We don't know. Here's why it's happening, I think. It's because we haven't really learned who God is. And by we, I don't mean they, I mean we. Us. We haven't really understood the God of grace deeply. We haven't really learned to live in His grace. We don't really look for the return of Jesus. We're not truly leaning on God by faith in Jesus. And this is the challenge that Paul makes. If the church's faith, if we're going to make a difference outside of these walls, if it matters on the sidewalk and the parking lot and downtown and in our community, if our faith is going to matter, then we must do these things. We must learn of God more deeply and understand His grace. We must live for Him more intentionally so that others can see His grace. We must keep our eyes on the clouds waiting for Jesus to return. And we need to lean into God, the giver of all good things. Scripture says that grace actually came through Jesus Christ. We didn't understand God's grace until there was Jesus. Now that we have Him, we know what a great God we serve. May we be a church that does these things for His glory. Lord, thank You for Your truth. Thank You for Your word. Thank You for reminding us. Lord, I think this is one of those passages of Scripture where we are in danger as Christ followers of shrugging our shoulders and saying, yeah, we know about grace. And never deepening our understanding of Your grace. Never leaning in more to Your grace. Never living on a day-to-day basis truly in Your grace. May You teach us these things. And as we return to this topic tonight in our community groups, would You deepen our understanding of what this means to live by grace? We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Go ahead and stand together, please, as we close the service this morning with one of our church's favorite songs, How Great Thou Art. Let's sing it together. Oh, Lord, my God, when I in awesome wonder consider all the world.
Watching this video of one of our recent services. It's a pleasure for us to have you join us from a distance and join our church in a time of worship around the Word of God. The most important message that we can tell you is that God loves you. And He loves you so much that He gave Jesus Christ as payment for your sins. And the Bible says that all that believe on the Lord Jesus Christ shall be saved. We want you to know that message, that true life is found in Jesus Christ. An eternal life, the opportunity to live with God forever in heaven, in spite of our sinfulness. True life is only found in Jesus Christ. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Would you be willing to put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ? Would you be willing to pray something like this? Lord, I know I'm a sinner, and I know there's nothing I can do about my sinfulness. I don't want to pay for my own sin, and I want to put my faith in Jesus. I want His death on the cross to pay for my sins. I want to repent from doing things my own way and make Jesus Lord of my life. Would you be willing to pray something like that and put your faith in Jesus Christ? If so, we want to help you as you start your spiritual journey with Jesus Christ. God loves you. Our church loves you. We're glad that you could watch this message today. God bless.